Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 100, verses 2 and 4. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name.
Father, your word said, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous work, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. And that's why we are here, Father, to seek you through the living word. The Bible encouraged to sing praises to you, and in a few minutes the choir will praise you, and some people will bring songs of praise to you because you are the glorious, mighty, gorgeous God. Thank you, Father, that we know it. Thank you for your favor to us so that our eyes of the understanding have been opened, and now we know that the God of the Bible is our God. Father, we pray for this service, that in every section, part of the service, this God of ours be praised and be known. We pray that the choir will praise you with a whole heart. We pray for our brother who read the scripture, that he may be able to communicate through the reading the goodness and the counsel of the Almighty. And Father, I pray for me, the eyes step out of the picture, and that the people may see God through the scripture. We are blessed, O Father, with missionaries in our church, actual people, families, who dedicate their life to bring the gospel to others. And for Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia, we pray for them. For Carol and Ruth Knott, our brother who was here, Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Benalmadena, Spain, David and Denise Rhodes in Papua New Guinea, Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala and Central America. For the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a remarkable center who brings light in the midst of turbulent times in the life of people. For the Christian Athletic Association, who bring the joy of gathering young people together in San Jose for sport activities and then bring the gospel to them. For Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel is improving in his health, and we thank you, Father, as he's facing now on the road to see the different tracks that he has to participate. And for Martha Paretti, as she ministers to the people, the drug addicts in Argentina. Lord, we thank you that we have these people, that we know they are serving you in different areas of their life and from different forms and in different ways, but with one message in common. We want people to know Jesus, Lord and Savior, the Holy Messiah of Israel. And now, Father, we are grateful as a church body for your support and for your care for us, because this is your work after all. And my confidence is that I never worry about an offering or about our expenses, because you are the one who motivate the people to keep us going. So thank you, Lord, that the people in this church are sensitive to your call and they are willing to give. And so we pray for the offering and we pray for the giver, that you may bless them richly. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated, please.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the Book of Psalms? If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 379. We will be reading Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have not left us to die in our own pollution, but have graciously drawn us to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we now have eternal life in him. We come before you in worship and prayer in his name to hear the great truths from your word, which will never pass away. Enable us to say with the psalmist, your word we have hidden in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We pray now for your servant, Gabriel Otero, our pastor, our teacher. May you bless him as he studies your word, that we may profit from his teaching and be drawn closer and learn more of the Lord Jesus. We are exceedingly grateful that you have brought us to a knowledge of the truth through the gift of faith and preaching. We pray for all those listening, especially for those who presently are not of the household of faith, that their ears will be opened and that they would believe the true gospel and that they would be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And we encourage you to look upon the scripture this morning once again in Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 is in page 379. And our section of the scripture is from verses 9 to verse 18. Psalm 119 was born of love for the law of God. And the psalm extols the excellencies of the written word of God in a way found nowhere else in the Bible. So if you, as a believer, want somebody to really be blessed who doesn't know anything about the Bible, tell them to read what Psalm 119. There are 22 sections of the psalm, and each section has exactly 8 verses. Remarkable work. Each section starts with the same letter in the proper sequence of the Hebrew alphabet, as you see in your Bible. Perhaps at the beginning of Psalm 119 is the word Aleph. And now in the section that we have for our study this morning, from verses 9 to 16, is the word Beth. And you see it like a little arc like that. And when I write Beth, I just do a script like that, like the newspaper today. But this is the classical old Hebrew letter. And this one corresponds to the letter B as Bob in our alphabet. Now, remember last Sunday, we looked upon section 1, verses 1 to 8. And Psalm 119 to me is like a manual that you buy and how to. I went to the Home Depot And they have just a booklet over there, how to work electricity, how to work these just little things in home. And this is the how-to. And the first section talks about how to avoid hypocrisy. And as you remember, was walk by the book, keep in mind God's word, and follow God's precepts. That's what we found in the first section. Now, the key thought in this section is in verse, of course, 9. The first verse of the paragraph is the key thought of the mind of the Hebrew writer. In verse 1 reads in this way, how can a young man clean his way? The word way is the way you are made of. So I will take the New American Dictionary for that. In the New American Dictionary, for the Hebrew word way, translated moral fiber. So verse 9 is saying this, how can a young man clean his moral fiber? And then the answer is by taking in his word. By taking heed, the word is in, by taking in his word. So I want to read it again because we're going to work a lot in the scripture to find this out. But here's what it is. How can a young man clean his moral fiber? By taking Prozac. No. That's what people do. You go to a psychologist, that's what he's going to do. So I want to change. And he's going to have 10 sections of $250 each and give you a Prozac. No charge here. But it's something important to do. You have to take in God's word. How can you modify your moral fiber? I will put it in more in modern language by internalizing God's word. And I took that word internalizing out of the word in the Hebrew and that word, verse 9. By internalizing God's word. Why? Because when you internalize God's word, there are certain modifications that take place in your moral fiber. When you take the word of God inside you, you are not the same person anymore. The word of God modifies you. So let me highlight some of them. The psalm is so rich that we can spend 2.5 hours talking in verse by verse, but I don't have that luxury. So I'm going to highlight some of the greatest spots that the psalms tell us. First, verse 10. By internalizing the word of God, your thinking will be modified. Your thinking will be modified. You think a lot. You never know. I called Russ one time. We cannot turn the lights on and downstairs. And he came in and looked on it. He can't find an easy way. And I asked Russ. I said, what's going on? He said, let me think about it. All right. So he came with one idea, and now is another. And so he's thinking. He's modifying his pattern and how he faced the work. And now he's having a larger picture. He maybe recall things that he had done previously or whatever. And then in about 10 minutes, he solved the problem. But he rethought the whole pattern of a structure in his work. So when you take the word of God, you are different. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me no wonder or be confused from thy commandments. With a whole heart I sought thee. By internalizing your word, the word of God, your thinking will be modified. So let me go how the Bible analyzes an individual. If you turn your Bible to Proverbs, put one hand here, and if you go to Proverbs 23, verse 7, page 398 in the Bible that is in the pew, In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the Bible tells you right away the psychology of anybody. Why you do what you do. The Bible answered to that question. There's a lot of people who said, I don't know why I'm doing this. Well, I can tell you right away why you're doing this. Proverbs 23, verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All right? People say, well, don't take Prozac to modify it. You have to take the word of God. Because he thinketh in his heart, says Solomon, so is he. He's telling his son. When you look to the board and the senate over there, and you're going to speak to them, each one of those guys, as they think in their heart, that's what they're going to do. And we know what the Bible said about the heart of man. I don't have to ask you to look in Jeremiah 17:9. Don't look, please. The heart of man is deceitful. It says slippery. Who will know it? Nobody knows the natural heart. And so the Bible, when you take the Bible, modifies the natural heart. How far? Well, turn your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5, 17, page 681 in the Bible that is in the pew. Page 681, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, and you will see how much the Bible modifies an individual. You are a product of your thoughts, said the Bible. And without the Word of God, your thoughts are always bad. Be honest, they are always bad. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when the Word of God comes in, settles in the heart. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, I mean, you have taken Christ Jesus from the Word of God into your life. He is a new creature. You are a new thinker. All things have passed away. The way of life has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature, a new you as a Christian. That's what it is. And you can say, like I will say, sometimes we feel sorry that we are not measuring up to that level, don't you? When you see your weakness, when you see that you have taken decisions or do things that are not from the new nature, you feel sorry about it. You bring the new nature alive by the modification of your thinking through the internalization of the Word of God. That's what you do. When you let the Word of God comes into your life, and you are a child of God, and so you internalize the Word of God, then you modify your thinking. Now, you know this? Go back to Psalm 119, and in verse 10, it said, with my whole heart, said the psalmist, have I sought thee. Now, let me clarify. What that mean with the whole heart? Does it mean with your pumping heart? What does mean with the whole heart as have followed God? Well, if you move your Bible to the next book, Proverbs, chapter 3, in verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5, you will find the answer. What means with the whole heart I'm seeking God? The Lord said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. All right? With all your heart. And then, lean not to your own understanding. When you seek God with all your heart, you do not have your personal opinion any longer. Whatever God said, that's settled. All right? You saw that bumper sticker. Whatever God said, that's settled. And that's what it is. To seek God with a whole heart is, I open the Bible, whatever God said, that's it. I will not argue. I will not try to modify it. I will not try to work around. If God says so, that's it. And then that modifies you. You maybe have a different opinion. You maybe have a different desire, which is harder than an opinion. But you look to the Word of God and you say, Mamma mia, what am I going to do? You have to do what the Word of God said. And a child of God, little by little, comes to do what the Word of God said. As you believe and practice the Word internalized in your heart, your thinking will be modified little by little to the point that you will be like a reproduction of the Lord Jesus. That's what the Word of God is doing. If you study Ephesians 4, it said the pastor should teach the Word of God to the point that make the level of every Christian in the audience up, up, up to the measure of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I teach with intensity, not my opinion, but God's opinion. Now, let me give you some examples about the internalizing of the Word of God and how the Word of God changed your life. Are you looking to get married? I don't have any address or anything, but I'll ask you the question. Are you looking to get married? Please, don't buy any of the books that I saw in the store, how to get married happy and how to do this and the other. They're all baloney. Internalize the counsel of the Word of God. Some of you are 13, 14, like to be married. Some of you are 40 or 60. I know a fellow at 60, he was single. So I think I had to get married. Well, that's a good idea, you know, 60 years old. You never know. But for all ages, it's the same. You internalize the Word of God. Now, what is the counsel of the Word of God for getting married? There are two areas. First, anthropologically, and I'm sorry I have to say this because the time in which we live. Will you turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, page 681. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, page 681. I'm sorry, we live in the area, 673, excuse me. We live in the area of San Francisco area, and I have to make this emphasis very, very clearly. It's an anthropological, you know it, our church know it, the people who listen to me know it, but I have to do it for the sake of clarification. When you internalize the Word of God, if you want to get married, the Word of God tell you with whom? Look at here. Look at what the Bible says. Now, concerning the things whereof he wrote unto me, the church wrote to Paul about marriage relationship and so on. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Don't play around with women, he said. Then in verse 2 says this, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, to fall into things that you don't want to do, to avoid fornication, look at what the Bible said very, very clearly. Let every man has his own wife, man, wife. Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. So the Bible, when you internalize the Word of God, a man would not look for another man. You have to be crazy to do that. But, that's what I mean. The Word of God help you. Now, you don't need a Congress of the United States, a President Bush to sign a decree that in order to be married, you have to be a man and a woman. You don't need that. The Word of God tells you. Waste all the time and money. But this is Satan's techniques to get people confused. All right? And so anthropologically, the Word of God, if you internalize the Word of God, if you're a man, you will look for a pretty woman. If you're a woman, you will look a man with money. That's it. You solve the problem. Now, sociologically, who should I marry? A tall guy, a short guy, a fat guy, skinny guy? Who should I marry? The Bible tells you. Bible tells you everything. Now you're excited now. Now look at the 2 Corinthians, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, page 681. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. I'm going to start reading in verse 14, page 681. The Bible tells you who you should marry, sociologically. Be not unequally, I'm reading verse 14 in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness?
And what accord had Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. But you know, the Bible is very tough. Calls an unbeliever an unclean things. I would not dare to say it myself. But the Bible calls an unbeliever an unclean things before God. And you and I were that kind of person. Saved by the grace of God, he saved us. And so sociologically, who the Bible wants me to marry? A believer. You marry a man or a woman, depending on who you are. And then you marry a believer, whether he is black, yellow, green, or whatever color his skin is insignificant. You marry a believer. You marry a believer, whatever nationality that believer is. You marry a believer in Christ Jesus, and I will fight for these young people here if they bring to my desk somebody who is an unbeliever. You bring me a believer. All right, so here's the example. When you internalize the Word of God, I don't even have to suggest to you, if you're a young man or a young woman, I don't have to suggest to you. The Word of God already tells you. Now, are you looking for union laws and how you should work? I read in the paper, you know, all the negotiating contracts, how to do this and the other. The Bible tells you about it. Here is the best law that you can have. Let's turn our Bible to Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, page 695. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. This is what the Bible teaches about working conditions. All right? Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, page 695. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That is the union law number one that God has. When you want to work, you work unto the Lord. Like the Lord Jesus is your boss. And that's it. And you do the job at the best of your ability and the hard way you can. Don't worry if the boss get full of money or whatever. As a matter of fact, if you make him rich, you never lose your job. You never lose your job. So, are you looking for union laws? This is one. When I work for the Lord Jesus. Are you looking for growing in your marriage relationship? And we all are. And so that you can have how can I have a better understanding with my wife? How can a wife have a better understanding with the husband? Will you turn your Bible to Ephesians 5:21? One verse only. Page 690. You're in Colossians, go to the left. Ephesians 5:21. And look at what the Bible says. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the best thing I ever heard. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The ways I get trouble in my marriage is when I take lonesome decisions by myself, like buying cars and things like that, you know, by yourself. And the Bible says, submitting to one another. So before you get married, are you willing? Are you willing to say, my mind is no longer my mind, it's my husband's mind. Husband, are you willing to say, I cannot do anything I want to, my mind is her mind. Whoo, that's heavy. I think we will cancel half of the marriage with that thought. But it's better. Because when you marry, the Bible says, when you internalize the Word of God, your wife is equal with you and you are no longer two, you are one. So you have to share together and come to an agreement and then proceed. Isn't that a great law? What about family relationship? Our children, what are we going to do with them? Go to Colossians chapter 3. With me in verse 20, page 695, again. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. How do we relate to children and what do we do? Here it is, Colossians 3 and verse 20, page 695. Children, obey your parents in all things. That hurt you? You mean when they are wrong? Even when they are wrong. I mean what the Bible says. See, when you internalize the word of God, that's it. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. This is a great thing to do. If you're a child below 20, which is the child age of the Bible, as you remember in Exodus, all those who were to 20 will not die. God will not judge them. If you are below 20, you're a child in the home, you have to obey your parents, says the Bible. Verse 21, fathers, that means father and mother, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Do not provoke your children. How do you provoke a child? You provoke a child by asking a child to do something that God doesn't give you the right to ask or to do. Find out what the Bible says about your duties, and you do it. It's going to be hard because the nature of a child is rebellious. You know, I know it. I just told the little kids what I did in the park with other kids, and I will sit my brother on the other side, six years younger, very light. He was very light, and I'm a big boy, 12 years old, you know, and I said, he went and flopped on the floor, you know. I don't know how many times I got spanked him for that. You know, and my mother was a good Spaniard. I told you not to do that, but I saw him born out. You know, my brother still remember that. You know, it's just amazing. Oh, this is nothing. You don't know what I did. Okay. See, nobody is holy here except the Lord. Is that right? Except the Lord, He's holy one. So you see what I mean? Verse 10, then we go to Psalm 119, verse 10. With the whole heart I sought thee. And so if we seek God with the whole heart and we lean not to our own understanding, but to God's understanding, our thinking is going to be modified. I may think and do in something, but as soon as I check with the word of God, I will do what God said. That is the best pill, the best medicine you can have for your thinking. If you are lazy and you don't want to work, I know somebody who told me, I don't want to work. Not in this church, but I don't like to work. Well, nobody likes to work. Everybody likes it. But you know, the Bible said, if you do not work, you do not eat. So what do you think? You don't go to welfare. You don't eat. Well, so who wrote that? God. They don't like God either. See, but when you're a believer, you and I will have desires of our nature, but then as soon as the word of God clicks in, modify that desire, and then we become in the likeness of God. Now let's take another verse in Psalm 119. Let's take verse 12. Your teacher will be modified. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord. And the word, O Lord, in capital, correctly in the King James, talking about the God of Israel, Jehovah. He said, blessed art thou, O Jehovah, teach me thy statutes. Wow, he's asking God to teach him. You will listen to Jehovah, the God of the Bible, when he teaches you. Now, how does God teach me? How does God comes in and teach me? Because I want God to be my teacher. Well, here is what the Bible teaches about that. If you move your Bible to John 14, verse 26, page 625, John chapter 14, verse 26, page 625, the Bible is going to leave you in how God and nothing less can be your teacher. The Bible says in John Gospel, chapter 14, verse 26, but the Comforter, some Bible use the word helper. The original word is the word para, beside, kleto, a speaker, somebody who is comforting you, speaking to you, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So we have God the Holy Spirit as a teacher. Now, still the question, how does God, the Holy Spirit, teach me? Does he come in a glass? Let me tell you today. He comes like that. There are some people who believe that, you know. And I don't call them crazy. I said they're confused. That's all. And because they have good intentions, but they have bad information, see? And now, here is what it is. How does the Holy Spirit teaches me? Well, if you move your Bible to 1 Corinthians 2, 13, page 671, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and verse 13, there is a simple formula in how God teaches you. So these things, I'm reading 1 Corinthians 2, 13, page 671. These things we also speak, said the apostle, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Wow. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. See, when you take a verse of the Bible and you compare that verse with everything else in the Bible that talks about the same thing that verse says, then you got the whole picture of God. And that's what I'm doing and teaching you, really. I just take my Hebrew Bible and I look for the verbs, circle the verbs of the Bible, and then look for those verbs to occur in the New Testament and Greek. And they give me a tremendous sermon. I can teach you the whole day. Because I have 7-8 pages. Look at what I have, about 20 pages. And 5 verbs of the Bible. God's word is rich. It's rich. And so you can have God as your teacher. Now I'm going to give you some examples so that you practice today. All right? Example number one about salvation. How can I be saved? All right? Let's turn the Bible to Acts 16 and verse 30. Let's turn the Bible and Acts 16, verse 30, page 651. Let's talk about what God has to teach me about salvation. It's very simple. Acts 16, verse 30 and 31. The jailman, an elite soldier of Roman Empire, brought Paul and Silas out. That's what the Bible said, and brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" In other words, I want to know this Messiah personally. What do I have to do to really have the peace and the joy and the serenity and the goodness that you people have showed to me? What do I have to do? Look in verse 31. God is teaching. What did he say? He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy household." And about 4 or 5 verses later, the man invited the apostle to their home. And amazing, God was pleased to save the entire family. And the Bible even said that they were baptized at that moment. So you want to learn about salvation. You go to the Word of God and God teaches you. You have to believe in Jesus. Is any way around Jesus? No. Is any substitute for Jesus? No. Because he's the Messiah of Israel. He is the appointee Messiah of Israel. And he is our intercessor. And he is the Lamb of God. In Sunday school classes study about this. The Lamb of God that was laid for me, accepted of God. On his first ascension, Jesus brought the blood into heaven, said the Bible, to cleanse the mercy seat. And so when you study the mechanism of God and the justice of God, he is the only person that fits into the picture. What about baptism, Father, Pastor? There is baptism in this way, and there is baptism this way. Some people baptize the little babies. Some people baptize a person as an adult. Well, let's ask God. What about baptism? Okay, you're in Acts 16. Move your Bible to the left. Acts 8. And if you don't have a King James Bible, you maybe miss one of these verses. Acts 8, verse 38 and verse 39. What about baptism? How the Bible can teach me about baptism? Here's what the Bible said. So here is Philip, a deacon of the church of Jerusalem, with an eunuch from Ethiopia. And the Bible says he commanded the chariot. He stopped his Cadillac. And both Philip and the eunuch went down in the water and he baptized him. Now when they came up of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip. But you look in verse 37, and in verse 37 is the clue. The eunuch said, what hindered me to be baptized? Do you see it? Do you see it in your Bible? If you don't have that verse in the Bible, you maybe have it at the bottom of your Bible. But verse 37 said, 36. What hindered me to be baptized? Verse 36. What hindered me to be baptized? And what was the answer? If thou believest. That's why I don't baptize a baby. I can have a baby in my hand and I say, will you believe? And the baby will say, that means believe. You know, let's not play with the Word of God. The Word of God teaches you, over and over and over. So when we go to Psalm 119 and verse 12 said, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. When you pray in that way, be careful, because you're going to have to modify a lot of your way of life. Teach me, O God. That means constantly you got to go to the Bible and find out what God really says for that occasion. I have one time for one more. All your pleasures will be modified when you internalize the Word of God. Now, I don't know what your pleasures are, what makes you kick, you know. When I was 20, playing soccer was my kick. But when you internalize the Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16 says that your pleasures is going to be modified. I'm reading Psalm 119, verse 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Your pleasures will be modified. There will be a change of newspaper. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts. One thing I love to do in the morning is glance the newspaper and look for the headings and look over there. I have to be careful not to spend too much time on it. So I have learned through fast speed reading. And I can look on it and read the middle and the verbs and then read the page in less than a minute. And put it together. But I have to watch it because it's very attractive to me. I don't know what you like to do. It's very attractive. And I use some of the documentations that I read for my studies or for writing to these people. But I tell you something. The Bible said, I will meditate in thy precept. Get the habit or get the Bible in the morning and just read, even if you read one verse. People say, only one verse? Well, that would be 365 verses in a year. All right? Imagine if you read one chapter. That will be 365 chapters in a year. So God's going to change your pleasures. And God is going to change your passion. Look at verse 16. I will delight myself. I will delight myself in this. God is going to change your passion. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean, reading the Bible is one thing. But reading the Bible with passion. Have you seen a soccer game or your crazy football game or whatever? You can tell, I don't know anything about football, but I can tell who really mean it on the field. When you play with passion, you play to kill. You don't forgive the other guy. You just, you know, you are there to kill. You go with your elbows and everything, whatever your technique of your coach is. But you don't care any longer about you. You just put your body for the team. Look at here, verse 16. I will delight. That word delight is a tremendous verb in Hebrew. I mean, there is no other attraction as when you were 17, 18 and you saw that girl and said, that's it. That's the girl. I saw Raquel when she was 17 or 16. 16, I think. And I said, that's the girl. Took me 7 years to convince her, but that's the girl. Look, Jeremiah 15 and verse 16, page 453. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16 will give you an idea of the word delight. Jeremiah 15, 16, page 453. This is what Jeremiah said after the desolation of Nebuchadnezzar in Israel. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's it. That's exactly what need to be. When you internalize the Word of God, you want more Word of God, and more Word of God, and more Word of God. And when you get the Word of God in, then the Word of God wants more. And like when you take a liter of water, you want 2 liters of water. Your body is designed in that mechanism. Please, avoid any other book. Just read the Word of God. Where? Read the Word of God. Whatever you want to is the Word of God. There is no book about the other book. Some people say, this book is better than the other. Come on, they're all written by God. So now, how do we modify our moral fiber? By internalizing the Word of God. And I'm going to show you. Don't look in the Scripture so I can be in time for the radio. And I go over the Scripture myself. You can look at it in your home. By internalizing the Word of God. And I know a guy who did it. It was remarkable, successful. Successful. His name is Joshua. Please, just take note. Don't look on it so I can go fast. Joshua 1:8. Here is God's instruction. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make your way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. That's what God told him. Remember, in Joshua 1:1, he called Joshua and said, Joshua, here it is. Joshua was, do I have to lead the people? Do I have to make decisions? Until now, he fought 40 years on the field. Moses said, go and fight. He go and fight. Go and kill. He goes and kill. But now, I have to make decisions. That's the hard thing to do. Made decisions. He was, God 4 times said, be a good courage. Finally, God gave the formula. Follow the book. Joshua fight, moves on. Another 40 years is all. Israel is changing laws like America. Chapter 24, verse 15. Remember that beautiful verse? Joshua stand up as an old man, 120 years old, and said, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served and were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. But for me and for mama and my children, we will serve the Lord. Boy, that's internalizing the Word of God. Now, is anything good about it? Yes. The book of Joshua continues, and in verse 29, give us a record of Israel, and says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 120 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in Mount Ephraim on the north side of Gaza. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that overlived Joshua, which had known all the works the Lord had done in Israel. Joshua died, but the people who follow continues, because one guy said, I'm going to do what the Word of God said. That's what we need as a president. I was listening yesterday in Spain, all the inaugurations of different presidents. Dr. McCormack gave me to read, I think he gave me the book, to read a nice book on President Reagan. You don't know anything about it, about how much a believer he was. And I can't believe it that one of the presidents even prayed. President Bush, the father of our president, prayed in his inauguration. Well, when there is inauguration, you look on it. But when you look at it again, and he called the God of heaven to help us. And this inauguration is going to be fantastic because it's going to be all about God. I tell you, you leave God out, you're at the mercy of the devil. You put God in, You don't have to change. People say, do I have to change to become a Christian? No, you don't have to. God changes you. Anything you do will come back. But anything that God does is done. May God change all of us in the image of Christ through the reading and the practicing of God's word. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your word is not empty. Thank you, Father, that your word is marvelous. Thank you, Father, that your word teaches us the way. Thank you, Father, that the only thing we have to do is take it in and you produce the effect. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the word. And like Paul says, sometimes the thing I don't want to do, I find myself doing. And the thing they are supposed to do, I am not doing. So Lord, forgive us and give us encouragement to practice the living word. In Jesus we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give you peace in Christ Jesus. Amen.